If you have your Bibles, turn with me over to 1 Timothy chapter 5. Follow along as I read, beginning at verse 9. 1 Timothy 5 and 9. A widow is to be put on the list only if she is not less than 60 years old, having been the wife of one man, having a reputation for good works, and if she has brought up children. If she's shown hospitality to strangers, if she has washed the saints' feet, if she has assisted those in distress, and if she has devoted herself to every good work. But refuse to put younger widows on the list, for when they feel sensual desires in disregard of Christ, they want to get married, thus incurring condemnation because they have set aside their previous pledge. At the same time, they also learn to be idle as they go around from house to house, and not merely idle, but also gossips and busybodies, talking about things not proper to mention. Therefore, I want young widows to get married, bear children, keep house, and give the enemy no occasion for reproach, for some have already turned aside to follow Satan. If any woman who is a believer has dependent widows, she must assist them, and the church must not be burdened, so that it may assist those who are widows indeed. Let's pray together. Father, quiet our hearts here in this place, and through the ministry of your Holy Spirit, help us to see clearly what is here, so that your word might have your desired impact upon our hearts and upon our lives. Whether this is information we need to have today and respond to today, or whether this is information we need to file away as truth to be used when the opportunity presents itself, either way, this is your word, it is true, and we need to be aware of it. So open up our hearts, our minds, take your word, your servant, and teach us, please. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This is a part of a longer section that we began last week. Well, actually, 2 weeks ago, because even the first two verses, I think, are speaking to the issue here when Paul says, now be careful how you approach older men, younger men, older women, younger women, how you confront them. Because there will be time, Timothy, when you need to come alongside and encourage men who are older than you, men who are about your same age, women who are older than you, women who are younger, maybe like a sister. But either way, you will need to confront them. You will need to speak to them, and you need to do it carefully. And perhaps a part of what Paul is thinking about is this issue of how we care for those who are truly in need. Now, the example that he uses, widows. But there's a sense in which the principle would apply to anyone within the sphere of the church who is truly in need. Now, here we're talking about older women and how to identify them as those who are widows indeed, those who are truly in need. But are they the only ones that the church is going to have opportunity to minister to? No. No, not at all. But the principles are still the same. For instance, with widows, she has no children or grandchildren. The first line of defense to anyone for any problem should be family. Family should be aware of the needs of one another, and where it's appropriate and when it's appropriate, be prepared to care for them. And then she is also to have her hope fixed on God. This is to be, and we'll see it again in this passage, this is to be a truly godly woman. This woman is to be a genuine believer, not just a professor of salvation or Christianity, but have in her background evidence that she truly is a godly woman. And the evidence that Paul used, that we looked at last week was her prayer life. She prayed for others as she prayed for herself. This is the sort of gal who, when she asks you how I can pray for you, she means it. If her mind is such that she will remember, if it's not, she will take the time to write it down. Because if you said, please pray for me about, she will do it. She's come to understand, at my age, I can't do everything I used to be able to do. I don't have the opportunity, I don't have the means, but I can pray. And I will do that. So if you ask me to pray for you, I will do it. And she has a reputation for being one, for truly being a prayer warrior. Now, this morning, beginning at verse 9, we see that she also has a godly character that is well known. A widow is to be put on the list only if she is not less than 60 years old, having been the wife of one man, having a reputation for good works. We'll stop right there for just a moment. If you were to Google life expectancy in the Roman Empire in 100 AD, it'd be all over the place. It's they didn't keep statistics like we do now. But clearly, for anyone to reach the age of 60 was an accomplishment. Now, it's interesting that in our New Testament, we have evidence of men who lived longer. When Paul is writing this, he's already 60, maybe 65. The Apostle John will live well into his 90s. Peter dies somewhere in between. So, but they were outliers. They were specially used instruments of God. So we're not surprised. But for a woman who has no visible means of support, who has lost her husband, has no children or grandchildren, to have reached the age of 60 was an accomplishment. And if she has reached the age of 60, she probably truly does have needs. She has been the husband of one man. And that would fit in some places today, wouldn't it? She has been the wife of one man. Now, just like that passage that we looked at several weeks ago, where we identified both the elders and the deacons as being the husbands of one wife, we suggested to you there that literally it's a one-woman man. We have a man who has identified himself as being truly faithful to his wife. Here it's the same principle. A woman who has a reputation for having been faithful to her husband. And it's a phrase, it's a word that takes into account the fact that before we're saved, for instance, we have no interest whatsoever in what God has to say about family, marriage, fidelity. And our God loves us and forgives us. And so the question is, who are you now in Him? Who is she now in Him? Did she demonstrate her faithfulness to her now deceased husband? Or was she faithful to that man who deserted her? Remember, we talked about that last week. She's been deserted and she has no visible means of support whatsoever. And remember, the assumption is children or grandchildren who can help. What about that young single mother whose life is still wrapped around trying to keep a home and keep children and raise them and care for them? How's she going to do that? But if she has demonstrated her faithfulness, the church can reach out and help. But here we're talking again about widows 60 or over who have demonstrated their fidelity to their husband who is now gone, having a reputation for good works. And then I think what we have here is a list of some of those good works. She's brought up children. That's a chore. That takes effort. Most of us are not going to live in a Downton Abbey world where nanny takes care of the children 7 out of the 8 hours of the day. When at 3 for tea, we get to play with the children for an hour. Not in the world I grew up in, or the world my children grew up in, or the world my grandchildren are growing up in. Parents have a job. So she's brought up children. She's shown hospitality to strangers. That's kind of tough. You know, it's easy to be kind and meet needs of people that you know. People that you can easily identify as having needs that, you know, really could use some help. But to be kind and generous to people you don't know, to people you maybe aren't even really sure they need it, but they've presented themselves and you have an ability to meet that need, to show true hospitality, that's a part of this gal. She's washed the saints' feet. That's a part of worship. In this day, at this time, feet washing was an important part of their worship. It was a show of humility and service. And this gal was a part of that. She assisted those in distress. In other words, last phrase of verse 10, she's devoted herself to every good work. This is her reputation. Her godly character is well known. When you say her name, you immediately think of the last thing you saw her doing, and it was something she was doing for somebody else. Her godly character is well known. But there is a warning then to younger widows, because that happens. For a variety of reasons today, and in the first century as well, a woman suddenly finds herself alone, but refuse to put younger widows on the list. For when they feel sensual desires in disregard of Christ, they want to get married, incurring condemnation because they have set aside their previous pledge. Perfect break there. Because we want to jump down here to verse 12. They've set aside their previous pledge. Apparently, what had been happening, maybe in Ephesus, maybe in the church as a whole, what was happening is these younger gals, finding themselves widowed, make a pledge. The church is asked, okay, if we support you, will you support the church? Now, they can't support it financially, but will you support it with your attendance, with your prayers, with your service? Will you do that? And they say yes. If the church is going to care for us, then we will do what we can to care for the church. That's what verse 12 is talking about. So then we walk back up then to verse 11, but refuse to put younger widows on the list. For when they feel sensual desires in disregard of Christ, they want to get married. Anything wrong with a younger widow wanting to get married? Absolutely not. The problem is they've made a promise. That they've said, no, we're not going to be looking for a husband. We're not going to be looking for that. Instead, we're going to give all of our attention to the church. But they're younger, and the desire is still there. And it's a natural desire. It's just that they've made a promise, and if they follow up with that, it violates that promise that they've made. And what Paul is saying here is just take that out altogether. Understand that younger women are going to be drawn to the idea of marriage. Remember, again, this is not the 21st century. This is the first century. There weren't a lot of opportunities for single women. There weren't hardly any opportunities for young mothers. The natural response was a husband and the desire for a husband. And when that happens, the previous pledge is thrown out and other problems come up. Verse 13, at the same time, they also learn to be idle as they go around from house to house, and not merely idle, but also gossips, busybodies, talking about things not proper to mention. In other words, we give people who have opportunity, because they're younger, to be out and about. These gals who are 60 and over are not going to have all of those opportunities. But if we set up a class here that we tell you we'll take care of everything you need, and then all of a sudden they've got all kinds of time on their hands and all sorts of opportunities, they're at least going to be tempted to follow up on them, which is exactly what some of them were doing. So he says, therefore, verse 14, I want younger widows to get married, bear children, keep house, and give the enemy no occasion for reproach. Now again, you say, oh, that seems so old-fashioned. And I understand that. But remember, again, we're talking about first century. They didn't have the opportunities that you have or might have. And Paul says, if you don't do that, you give the enemy, Satan, you give the enemy an opportunity. In fact, he says in verse 15, for some have already turned aside to follow Satan. Remember, a young woman doesn't have a lot of options, doesn't have a lot of opportunities. And if she isn't focused on Christ, focused on the church, if she looks at all at the world around her, she's going to pursue other things, give Satan an opportunity, and some of it will be sinful and cause all kinds of problems. Instead, I was reading Proverbs 3 yesterday because it was July 3rd. You may remember Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths or make your paths straight. See, that's where we're all supposed to be, and that's what Paul is reminding these young women of as well, and the church, as they care for them and guide them. Remember, Timothy's going to have to come alongside some of these younger women and say, what you're doing is wrong. And remember, verses 1 and 2, he was to do it very carefully. He was to do it with purity. But he still had a need to confront them because they were a part of the church. Last week, the conclusion was a warning. This week, the conclusion is an opportunity. Verse 16, if any woman who is a believer has a dependent widow or has dependent widows, she must assist them, and the church must not be burdened, so that it may assist those who are widows indeed. Going all the way back up to the first verses in this passage, where we're reminded that the first line of defense is not the welfare system, it's not even the church, it's family. It is your opportunity. If and when mom has needs, if and when grandma has needs, to be the one God uses to meet those needs. They shouldn't need to be dependent upon others. So these younger women, some of them may even be widows, could see a ministry to the older widows who just have no other opportunity. no other means of support, see themselves as the answer to caring for them. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word and its truthfulness. And yes, in our day and age, in our economy and culture, some of this seems odd. But the principle is still very, very true. The church needs to be prepared to help those who are truly in need. But the first line of defense is that great opportunity that we have as family to meet needs. But when family just isn't there, or when family refuses, the church needs to be prepared to step in. So wherever we find ourselves as a church, may we be compassionate to those around us, especially those who are older, who may indeed find themselves in a situation where they just have more needs than they have resources. If individual families can't or won't, the church must be willing to be the arm, the hands, the feet of Jesus, and caring first for our own, and then as we have the means, others as well. Thank you for the challenge. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.